Amen. Let's give a warm welcome to Price.
Amen. God is good, y'all. God is good, right? He is amazing and awesome. I'm so very happy to be here. You all just don't understand. This is such an epic moment for me. All the years leading up to this moment, I'm going to share it with you today how it got to this moment. But for me to be standing here in this position with my mom and dad sitting over there in the corner, I thank God for them. And I am just honored to be here. So what if I told you that I was homeless? I had lost my job. The testimony she was telling this morning was taking it all out of my mouth. I'm like, wait a minute. We got to slow down. You're taking my testimony. She was telling me, oh, man, this is a little heavy. She's sharing all the things that I'm sharing, but it's amazing because later on I'll talk about how I met people who are in the same place that I was in. But what if I told you that? Homeless. That I lost my job, that I mishandled my finances, that as the leader of my house, I wasn't taking care of things the way I was supposed to be the priest of my home. I was letting my family down in many ways. There was all kinds of things that was going on behind the scenes, and God needed to clean those things up. And so today I want to share with you how I ended up in this turbulent tornado of a situation in my life. And I want to start by going way back. My name is Price Wright, and so we get the jokes out of the way. Price is Right is the name they call me. I know you was thinking about it. Price is Right. Price Chopper. Everyone you could think of, I got. I even got the Madison. I think it was Madison. They talk about the Price is Wrong. I can't say the last word. But it was just funny because it's like growing up, that was the icebreaker. And I thank God for that. Kind of got me warmed up to people early and learning how to talk to people and communicate with people early. So I thank God for that. Little icebreaker, and Matt gives me a hard time about it all the time, so I'm glad we got that out the way. So all the way back to fourth grade, as I started growing up, my parents introduced me to God early. They didn't force anything on me. They didn't beat me over the head with it. They just wisely got us involved in serving. I challenge you, if you have young people, get them involved in serving in the light ways, not forcing them, but just serving. They got me involved early serving. God put tools all around me, the right tools. He put those right in place. He was planting seeds early in my life because there was a calling on my life as a very young man. I felt this calling. The ones teaching, they were great. The Pentecostal church we was in, it was a lot of shouting and dancing, a lot of hands up, but those people had genuine hearts to serve the Lord. They weren't perfect. They didn't have it all right, but they really, a lot of them, overwhelmingly really loved God and was seeking to live right for God. So God started me there. And he began to plant all these seeds as this young man. So as a fourth grader, I brought this because I wanted to use it. As a fourth grader, when God opened my eyes to see his light, I began to carry that Bible around through the hallways, and I had my suit on and my necktie in elementary because God had called me even at that young age. So here I am, a fourth grader, walking around with my Bible, telling people about Jesus because I didn't know how else to do it. And I saw the people in front of me. They had the suits on. They had separated themselves from the world. They were totally different. They looked different. They sounded different. Hey, Bishop, my name is. And I was like, man, I gotta live it and do it just like God called me. But it was genuine. The calling on my life, it was genuine. God said, I want you to do something specific. I'm going to have you shepherding and pastoring and leading. Even back then, as a fourth grader. So when God did it, it was a service one night they were having, and they began to share the word, and it was a revelation sermon. It was talking about the return of Jesus, and they were talking about Jesus coming back, and it was kind of scary, and it was kind of epic, and I was like, oh, man, like, it pierced my heart. I said, man, it's just something pulling at me, something pulling at me. I went home, began to read the scriptures. I received Jesus that night. I received him, went home, began to read the scriptures. I opened them up, and for the first time as a fourth grader, I remember seeing something. I said, wait a minute. This is authentic. This is real. This is somebody telling something that really happened. Right away, I noticed it. God removed these scales from my eyes and gave me this calling. So once again, the seeds were planted at that young age for what God had already called me to do. Let's fast forward a little bit. We get to my high school years. Through those years, there were some weeds and seeds that was kind of being planted and different weeds trying to come up and choke out what God was doing in my life. So I'm trying to walk with God all these years. And it reminds me of the book, The Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. Anybody ever read that? John Bunyan, The Pilgrim's Progress, it reminded me of that, how there was this process and this progress that the Christian was on as he was going through this whole little wilderness and different things. He was running into all these obstacles, and I felt like that as a fourth grader heading up. I had great direction from home. Discipleship was a little different. We have intentional discipleship. We have language for it. We have a lot of things here in New City that I just love. I love. It wasn't as intentional. My parents, they did an awesome job, but I was growing up and just trying to figure it out. A lot of the boys around me, the guys that could have been mentors, they were chasing the girls. They weren't thinking about Jesus at the time. The guys that I was, they weren't trying to live right or live holy. They was trying to figure out, oh, man, how am I going to get that girl right there? So it was kind of hard finding a kind of an older brother that could lead me and guide me and direct me, who wasn't my dad. You know how it is. Sometimes your dad tells you something. It's like, dad, you're talking. But to have someone that was kind of really super impressionable on me, it was really hard to find that. That was a seed God was planting for me. He was giving me a hunger and a desire to know him better, but to also share truth at the right time, right? So I get to high school, and once again, things start burning and building. That passion is going. God calls me, and I begin to go and try to plant a Bible study right there in our lunch cafeteria at Grandview High School. So we had moved all around the city. We lived in Grandview. We lived in Overland Park over in Grand Oaks, went to Indian Valley Elementary. And just we lived in different places. We didn't live in North Kansas City, but we were moving. My parents were business people. They were doing well. So we had to move a few times, and, you know, things were going good. But I learned a lot of different cultures and a lot of different backgrounds, and all that led me to Grandview, which is it was like a cultural pot, a racial type a pot of different cultures and things like that. So as I was there, I went to FCA and their Bible study and began to get immersed in that. And it just wasn't the same. It wasn't what I was used to. And people wouldn't come. The people I knew, they wouldn't come. I would invite them. They just wouldn't come out. So God put it in my heart, I want you to plant a church right there in the school. I had no idea what plant was. Church planting in high school, I had no clue what that was. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to do the best I can. I don't know what you're telling me to do, but I know you're telling me to go and get with your people and begin to share the word with these high school students. I felt that call and that burden, so I went to the cafeteria and began to speak and teach right there in the cafeteria with a good friend of mine who decided to plant right along with me. We began to preach and teach in the cafeteria. Next thing you know, we went from 1 to 2 to 5 to 10. That's some weird math right there. But we began to go to all different types of numbers, begin to grow. Next thing you know, I saw lunch ladies starting to come over and just kind of get into it and say, ooh, that's good. And next thing you know, it just really took over the cafeteria in the mornings, so much so the principal got word of it, came in and said, hey, we got to shut this down. You guys are doing too much. I was like, oh, man, my heart was broken. God had built this thing up in my heart to share truth even back then. I'm like, man, what am I going to do now? Remember, when I came to God with this opportunity, I kind of came like this. I wasn't kind of, this is mine. I just kind of like, Lord, let's see what you do. I didn't know how it was going to happen. I didn't have all the proper items in place and financial. I didn't have any of that. So I just kind of came and said, God, you know, I'm going to do this. God sent the teacher. Teacher, her name was Kay Combs. I'm going to say her name because she's awesome. I hope she watches this. She's awesome. She came to me and said, I heard what you were doing. And God put it on my heart to give you my classroom. Now, in this day and time, she probably would have been fired if they got word of that. But back then, she said, I want to give you my classroom. And not only that, I want to bring you donuts every single Wednesday so that you can do that. She provided that. So early on, I got to see God's hand of provision. When we step out on faith and do what God has called us to do, even as a high school student, I was able to see God's hand move. God began to do things that were incredible. So we got this classroom, this huge classroom, and I'm like, uh-oh, I don't know if people are going to come from the lunchroom up to the classroom. Once again, multiplication start happening. 1, 2, 5. 9, 15. It just grew to the point that the classroom was full of people who were getting to know Christ. I didn't know enough about discipleship to really pull them all in at the time. I was still learning. But just to see what God was doing, tugging on the hearts of those young people, it blew me away. And once again, the seeds and the weeds were happening. So out in the public, I was serving God, doing all kinds of things. I'm wearing the suits. Now, by high school, I wasn't wearing the suits anymore. I had realized I don't have to do that. So I wasn't wearing the suits. I was just being myself. You know, and I thought I was pretty cool. I kind of went homecoming king. I thought I was pretty cool, but I was doing the best I could to serve God, right? So I'm walking, but behind the scenes, there were some weeds that was coming up trying to choke out the faith that God had given me. And some of the weeds that were happening were heavy things like addiction to pornography. There were some heavy things that I was dealing with, the puffing up of knowledge. Remember, I was born way back in the church, raised in the church, Pentecostal. We were dancing and shouting. I had all this puffed up knowledge that I had in my mind of what God had taught me. I saw the best preachers all around the country coming to our churches. We had Sunday school every single Sunday. We were at church Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and we was there for like the whole time. So I was soaking in it. I'm like, so I'm puffing up in knowledge, raising up in pride, kind of getting arrogant about it. Yeah, God is leading me. God is doing this. I may not have been doing that on the outside, but in the inside, that was definitely happening, right? So God said, okay, this is a little dust up. I gotta do some things. The Bible says that God will chastise those who he loves. He will discipline them. He will correct them. If he loves you, he's going to get you right in order, right? He's going to get that heart where it needs to be. You know, some of us don't like that. We don't like time out. We don't like having to ground our kids. We don't like doing that kind of stuff. We don't like that. But God says, I got to make sure you get it right because your heart has to be clean on the inside. You can't be doing things on the outside and be the biggest hypocrite in town. So all those seeds were already happening. The seeds and the weeds were already happening as I was beginning to grow. Let's fast forward a little bit and get to the part where I met this beautiful woman. Right there. She hates being put on the spot. I met her at Penn Valley. She wouldn't give nobody a chance. I was playing basketball. I didn't want nobody who was going to be with me when I went to the NBA. So I said, I want to get somebody who doesn't even care about that stuff. I met this woman, and we fell in love. God blessed. And we did things out of God's time, and we wasn't living right. But mind you, seeds of sexual immorality had already been planted. Puffed up haughtiness about myself, and this religious overzealousness had already been built up in my life. I was already kind of walking boldful and prideful in my life, and I felt like I knew more than most people. That most people didn't know what I know, so I went into our marriage with that. I went into our marriage not really doing the best with finances and things like that. I really didn't manage those things well. My parents had given me great lessons, but I didn't really listen. Went out and made bad purchases, bad investments, did all kinds of things that were just nonsense, and began to build a pickle of a situation in our relationship. That went all the way for about 3 years. We had our son. Things were going pretty good, but there were some cracks starting to come in. Mind you, still those seeds and those weeds are kind of building up. So in that same time, I began to youth pastor one of the largest Pentecostal churches in Missouri. I began to step up as a youth pastor. I walked into that calling. That all happened through some discipleship moments, right? So here I am with all this stuff going on. Now I'm youth pastoring. I got a little more responsibility in my lap. But behind the scenes, it's kind of starting to crack and crumble a little bit from some bad choices that I've made. Now I got this position. And now I'm really getting haughty. I'm singing in front of thousands all around the country with my group. We're doing all this stuff. But at home, things are starting to really get teetery. Behind closed doors, I'm on that laptop hitting the XX whatever. I'm not going to say the rest because might be a kid in here that's impressionable, and I would hate for you to get caught up on that nonsense. I begin to hit these sites, and these things were happening. And you say, well, how could you be a pastor and a preacher, and you were addicted to this kind of stuff? Well, how could you be a believer in Christ, and you're addicted to your phone? We have to think about those things. God was still directing, guiding, and using and doing things in my life, but I was falling in the pit on some things and trying to trip over, and I knew I was wrong. God, man, God, help me. I can't get over this, and I would pray that prayer. I need help, God. I can't seem to get past this. I need you to direct me, God. I need you to guide me and lead me the right way. Help me, Lord. Help me. The help came. The next season of my life was this turbulent storm that started to build up from all that stuff that you heard about, all the cracks from way back there as this young kid getting puffed up in knowledge, growing, starting to get addictions and different things that were happening behind the scenes, this arrogance and pride that was happening from positions and all that. It's all building up, letting my wife down with finances. I'm not doing good with that. I'm really not managing our house well as the priest of my household, not doing things the way I'm supposed to be doing. A lot of little cracks happening, and then all of a sudden I break trust with my wife. I'm in the inboxes talking to some people. Sharing some things I shouldn't have been sharing. Here I am, youth pastor, doing things, and I'm behind the scenes in the dark doing things that I had no business doing. Guess what? I can talk about it now because deliverance has come only through the Lord God. And don't think for one second I'm crazy. The enemy knows how to keep trying to hit you for the rest of your life. But I thank God that at this point I can say I have been delivered. And I'm going to tell you the rest of this testimony. So me and my wife begin to go through this heaviness, this tornadic turbulence begins to happen. It's going all around. I see it coming, but I can't stop it. Says if I'm in a highway and I'm driving down the middle and there's darkness on this side and there's total light on this side and I see this huge tornado coming at me and I'm driving down, but it's so big, it's bigger than an F5. And it's coming at me, and it's coming at me, and it's coming at me. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm about to get hit. I didn't have my guard up. By then, questions that started coming in about my faith. God, am I really yours? Am I really walking with you? All these things I'm doing, am I really your child? I start questioning those things. I start questioning my own walk with the Lord. I started questioning the validity of my faith and my marriage and things that I was doing because all the unfaithfulness through emotions, stuff like that. And the cracks got bigger and bigger and bigger. So much so, I came home one day and my wife was packing things up. Mind you, at the same time that happened, I walked in my job and unknowingly I had no clue it was coming. It was unexpected. They told me I was fired. So I get fired that day, and it's like I go home, and she had no clue that was going to happen. It was just a crazy change of events that just happened like that. I go home, and I'm like, my heart is just being ripped, and she's not leaving just because she's just leaving. I was failing as a husband, as a father. I was letting the whole thing down, totally breaking trust. How can you keep a relationship when the house is divided? How do you keep a relationship when the trust is totally broken and totally gone in many ways? So I came home, and I'm broken. I'm hurt. I'm trying to grab all the things that I had in my life. Remember, the job is mine. The church is mine. The youth pastor, this is mine. My wife, she's mine. All these things are mine. I can control and manipulate them. God has given me this gift to talk to people and to share with them. I can manipulate all of it, and I can use it, and I can hold it. It's mine. God says, nope, job's gone. Uh-oh. I'm going to move your wife out of the situation for a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and take her away. The car, they came and they repoed it because I couldn't make the payments because I had mismanaged my finances. all of a sudden, the guy we were renting the house from, nice house down in the city, he comes, and this is all happening right at the same time. He comes and says, hey, man, no, we really like you guys. You guys did good for a while, but we're a couple months behind. We can't keep letting you guys live here without paying. I thank God he didn't put an eviction on my record. I thank God for that, but he had to get the keys. We had to turn him in. Lost our house. My mom and dad was living out in Overland Park, but they had a two-bedroom with five people living in it because they were helping people out. They had some of our cousins living there. So I'm like, man, I can't take this problem to my mom and dad's house. I can't bring all this nonsense out there to their house. So I said, well, we'll see what happens. I began to do the best I could to jump around to different houses. That heaviness was on my life. The heaviness was on my mind. I was fighting to keep my sanity because, mind you, all this is going on, and I'm still trying to serve in this position as this youth pastor. High and mighty, still trying to serve with all this stuff happening. Just dawned on me. It just came to my mind. You hear about these pastors that are doing things to themselves. God bless for their families and praying for their families. But you hear about these pastors that take their lives. And a lot of times there's darkness that we have that's struggling behind the scenes. And we need help. We need accountability. We need transparency. We need all of those things. But sometimes we don't get that. We don't seek it. We're not in a good body. That's why I love New City. There's accountability. There's people reaching out to us to connect with us, to build with us, to grow with us. So I thank God for that now. But back then, I didn't have that at that moment. So I'm walking this thing along. I'm fighting this thing along. It's heavy. It's hard. My wife is now gone. My job is gone. My car is gone. I'm riding the bus. I'm seeing these people that are dealing with desperation and heaviness. And people are walking around, and they're going through poverty and all these different things. And the seed is being planted even then that you're going to be a person that's going to be a blessing. And I'm like, God, I don't see no way out of this. I'm in a dark pit. I don't see a way out of this. This is a huge mess. How will this ever get better? I had no clue. I had no clue how it would ever get better. I didn't see my way out of it. Mind you, now, mostly everything's been plucked out of my hands. I don't have anything. So I'm riding this bus back and forth, getting a little bit of gas money where I can. Got some temporary jobs that I was working because none of the people would call me back for a regular job. I was getting no calls back from the career that I was in. So I'm trying my best to get the jobs, and it's just not happening. All of a sudden, when I had my son, I would go out and I would stay with my mom and my dad. And I know this is heavy. It's like, man, is it ever going to get good? It was bad. So I would go out and stay with my mom and dad when I had my son just to make sure he had a place to stay. And then I would go drop him off with his mom because we had separated. And we were about to crash and burn. We had separated at this time. We were going through. We were separated and everything was just terrible. That separation ended up leading to divorce because the divide just got bigger and bigger. We couldn't figure it out. So I would drop him off. And then I would head out there and just try to figure out where I was going to stay. My parents helped me get a van from the auction. I had this van. You're shaking your head. It seemed like you kind of know what I'm talking about. Oh, man. So I had this minivan. Bertha is what I call my minivan. I gave it a name, Bertha. And I would drive this minivan everywhere. It got me around, kept me going. But what I would do with this van is I would drive down to 28th in Indiana, which is where I stayed, right around the 28th in Indiana area. It's a pretty bad part of town if you don't know it. I would go and I would sleep in the back of that car and have my blankets and my covers because I didn't want to bring out my problems and things to my mom and dad. I felt like everything I was touching was kind of a curse. That everything I was touching was crashing and burning. I had no clue how I was going to get out of it. So around this time that all that's going on, I finally decide I need to step down. So here I am being fully humbled. I had to step down from my position as a youth pastor of one of the largest churches in Kansas City. So I stepped down humbly. They didn't ask me to. I just went in there and talked to them, told them all that was happening. We had been counseling for a while. I told them I really feel like I need to step down. I've been reading Timothy. I've been, reading some of this. I feel like I need to step down and let somebody else do what they're doing. It was one of the hardest things I ever had to do in my life. Humiliating. But I did it. I did it. God began to do his thing on my life in other ways and just teach me and tell me things as I was going through all of that heaviness. And then all of a sudden, I came to this one moment. It was one of the biggest fights of my life. My mind was like going crazy. I'm ready to pull my hair out. Literally. Felt like I was going insane working at this place and every day just thinking about, man, wondering what my wife is doing. And she's not my wife at this point. What is she doing? And wondering what's happening with my job. Wondering what's happening with my car. What am I going to do? I'm using my mom and dad's car and I have no real place to stay. And I just had to step down and all these things are going on. I'm like, God, am I even your child? The enemy starts getting those things to your mind. The mental battles start happening. God, am I even your child? Do you even care about me? Why are you letting this happen? Why are you letting this happen? Where are you? The enemy allowed me to pick up a book. I went to the library and just grabbed a random fiction book because I just wanted to read something. And this fiction book just happened to be on neuropsychology. The enemy literally threw one of the heaviest topics in my lap. I had not even heard of this book. Just picked it up. 500 pages. Soaked it up in like a few days. And it was talking about there is no God. There is no life. There is no world. There is no nothing. So all this stuff was pushing me further and further to the cliff. But I remember turning that book in. walking out the library. I'll never forget. I was at the plaza. I'm walking out. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do what I need to do. I'm going to do what I need to do. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I'll never forget it. These two people walk right past me as I was walking out the plaza library. They walk right past me, and God said, the Holy Spirit said, you see those people? You just read this big collegiate book with all this fancy language. The synapses of their brains that fire off. Who put those there? Who gave them the hair, all the hair follicles on their head? And I looked down, saw this grass kind of moving. The grass was kind of moving in the wind. God said, that beautiful grass right there just moving in the wind. Who put that there? Who did that? I looked up, and I saw the stars in the sky, and the moon was shining super bright this night. God said, who did that? He said, it's a test. Do you trust me through this? Will you hold on through this? No, I wasn't in Job's situation. I don't wish that on anybody. I hadn't got to that point, but it was bad. So I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And I turned this right here, which I couldn't really do anyway because it would just be me hugging myself. I didn't have anything to really hug, so I was basically hugging myself. I said, Lord, okay, I'm going to live like this. I'm going to give you what you want. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to give it. The Holy Spirit starts speaking, and a new season starts coming. That highway that I was on, with that tornado cloud and all that darkness, it started moving on, started passing. I see some blue skies. There's still clouds up there. I see some blue skies and things, but there's still clouds. But it's I'm like, wait a minute. Is that some light I see? I see some light. Oh, man, I never thought I'd see light. I began to follow God and be obedient to his word. I repented of the things that were behind the. Look, I had put my hand on the hot stove, and it got burned really, really bad. I said, Lord, I don't ever want to experience this again where my life behind closed doors doesn't match the life that I'm standing out front telling people about. I want to make sure I'm walking with you and worshiping you in the closet the way I am out in public. See, it's those secret areas that we have to make sure we have right. So I began to walk with God, and God began to heal things. One of the first things God healed was me and my wife. We began to talk. We came together. We talked out some of those things we were struggling with. And God did some amazing things because I had prayed, like, God, this ain't going to happen unless you do this. And we began to talk on those exact things. It was a miracle because we were dead. Dead. No, it was no real communication. God began to do his work on our relationship because we put it in God, it's in your hands. I don't know who's dealing with that today, but we put it in God's hands. God, it's in your hands. Do what you do. God began to heal something that I thought was already dead. After that, God began to lead me and direct me in jobs. I didn't have a really good stable job. I was working two jobs, sometimes 16 hours a day. No break for real. I'd have a little break here and there. I don't even know if it was legal at the time. I was working straight through trying to just provide. I said, God, I really need a job that's going to give me time to really spend more time with my son and spend more time with my family. We're reconnecting. I really need it. God bless me. God opened up the career that I was really in and began to open up doors there. Just did an amazing things. I can't even tell you all the goodness. It's a topic for another day. God started doing incredible things with my finances. Started getting me on the right track and the right mind with that. God blessed me with the car. God blessed my marriage. God began to bless all those things. And in this season of restoration that I was in, God began to teach me some specific things that I couldn't have learned no other way. And as I learned these things and grew, God connected me in a divine way with New City. It was divine. It was crazy. Me and my wife, we had set for 5 years just allowing God to restore us. We set at a church down in the middle of the city, and we were just letting God build us. And God was doing his work on my wife. He was doing his work on me. He was increasing our faith and just doing all kinds of incredible things. We were getting active, but we weren't really, like, moving too heavy. And in that season, God said, I want you to wait patiently. Don't go out and start a storefront church. I know you know I have a call in your life, but I want you to sit and wait patiently. And that was hard. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I was itching to work because I'm like, okay, God, you're doing great things in our marriage and you got my finances. I need to go again. God said, sit down, wait, be patient. Sit down, wait, and be patient. As I did that, I connected with one of my brothers from years ago, Ryan. Some of y'all know him, some of y'all don't. He was doing a little transition at Loma Vista as they were going through. He was there preaching every Sunday for about 10 months. He had invited me over and over again to come, and I said, no, it's not time. It's not time. It's not time. And finally, the Holy Spirit unlocked it. I had no clue where he was at. I had never been there, but I just kept saying no because it wasn't time. We were serving where we were. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, go tell him you're ready to serve. I went to him and said, hey, man, because of all that stuff I went through, I learned to follow the voice of God. When God says go, you go. So God, go tell him. I said, hey, man. God told me to come tell you I'm ready to serve. Whatever you need me to do, parking lot, you need me to go speak sometime, you need me to teach, whatever you need me to serve with you, however you need me to do that, I'm ready. From that moment of humility and acceptance of God's will, God began to open doors I never saw. I had no clue everything that was happening behind the scenes. Divinely, God connected me with Casey while Matt was out on sabbatical. Me and Casey began to build a relationship without me knowing anything that happened with Loma Vista. We built this relationship. It grew and grew and grew. And when I first met Casey, I have to be honest, I thought it was one of those meetings where we're meeting up talking about finances and they're going to figure out how to sell me some pyramid dream or something like that. And I was actually mad at Ryan, like, man, why would you set me up at this meeting? I don't know this guy. We built a great relationship from there, and it grew and it grew and it blossomed. Came and told me, hey, we want you to be the campus pastor of Loma Vista. They said, pray about it. And I didn't know what Loma Vista was. I had no clue. I had no clue where it was. Or I thought it was like a little small place in Grandview. I'm like, hey, whatever you need me to do. Through the circumstance of events, I stand here now as the campus pastor of Loma Vista. As I've walked with God, followed God's direction, God healed me and my wife. He restored our marriage. We reconciled, got remarried. We did all those things we needed to do to get that right, not because we were forced to, because God had us waiting to get things right. God taught me things I never would have learned any other way. I learned those things and walked with God, and now I stand here excited to be a part of this family. This month was for the next. We are for the next family in Loma Vista, right? We're connected to you guys. We've been out in Edgerton every single week, serving out there, building out there, growing out there with those people. You all never really met us. I know they mentioned our name a couple times, made fun of my name a little bit. The Price is Right. I know that already happened, but we're here, part of this body, part of this family, ready to serve, excited to serve, excited to build in that community. Mind you, I grew up right there in that community, right over there. My mom had a daycare not too far from there. We had never even been inside that building, never even walked step foot inside there, but God said it was for you. I met with three other pastors here in the last couple months that said, man, we were trying to get that, and we got turned down. God worked his work, his way, and said, this is for New City. Some of you all don't even know those stories of people that was trying to help take over and get that thing right, but God had blessed what New City was doing. You all are special, and I'm so glad to be an insider now, but I was the outsider looking in at the amazing things that were happening. When we first went out to Edgerton and my wife met Casey and that family out there, I knew that was going to be the end of it. So we're driving all the way to Edgerton. There's no way this is going to happen. My wife is going to turn this down. We can go back down to the church in the city. We can just enjoy ourselves and relax because it's not time yet. My wife fell in love with the people, with how genuine they were, how much they love God, how much they loved on us. You all are doing the same thing today. I met a whole lot of beautiful people today, heard incredible testimonies of God's goodness. God is doing an awesome thing in this season for New City. I'm hearing and seeing amazing things happening, and I'm just so excited to be a part of it. God has led me through all that, all these years, to be right here where he called me to be all those years ago. So I hope something I've said today has blessed you, helped you to understand why it's important not to live like this with all those things in your hand, but to live like this, to trust God with everything you have. I hope you've heard my cry and my plea to you that if you walk with God and trust him, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And this is one of the hardest things for Americans. Do not lean on your own understanding. That doesn't mean that you're silly or stupid or nothing like that. You be intentional with your finances. You live excellently and do everything you can. Trust in him with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge God, and he will direct your path. Let's pray.